This is Dr. Max Schultz, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment.
So happy to be with you again this Sunday morning, as we are each Sunday morning at this same time. We hope that you have your Bibles open now, and will turn with us here, if you will, to the 19th chapter here of the book of Acts. Now, as we go through these messages, we are not going to recapitulate and go back over and retrace much as we've had last week, because we're putting them on cassette tape, that if you would like the series, after we're completed the series studies here on the book of tongues, or on tongues as is spoken in the Word of God in the various places, then you may write us here at Faith Baptist Church, 3003 Narrows Road in Perry, Ohio, and we'll be happy to get those to you. If you're over here now to the 19th chapter, in verse 1, we find out that the men here, when Paul had met them at Ephesus here, asked them a question. Now, in verse 1, these men were called certain disciples. But again, as we've said before, that does not mean that they were saved. The disciple means, or the word basically means, one that follows. When used, it does not always refer to a saved person. Those, as we've said last week, who followed Muhammad are his disciples. In the occult, those who worship Satan are his disciples. In John chapter 9, verse 28, the Jews claimed Christ was not of God and stated, "We are Moses' disciples." Now, something caused Paul to inquire further about their salvation, for he knew that all believers in Christ from Pentecost to the rapture are now indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Again, we reemphasize, this is made clear from Romans chapter 8, verse 9. "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And then Paul asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And the word "since" here should be translated "when." The Revised Standard has it correctly translated, and it reads, "Did you receive the Holy Ghost when ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Now, these men were not entirely honest in their answer. John the Baptist did mention the baptism of the Holy Spirit when he baptized. In Matthew 3:11, we're told by John that, "I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but he," Christ, "shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and in fire." Now, these 12 had just heard Apollos preach this. For in Acts 18:25, the Lord says, "Apollos, while in Ephesus, taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." Now, whatever caused Paul to sense these men were not saved proved vital to his intuition. Paul now reminds these men of the meaning of John's baptism in verse 4. "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should," now that's future tense, "believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Now, repent again means a change of mind. That is, do not be as the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites who mock at Jesus, especially his claim to be the Messiah. But change your mind and accept him as your Savior. Remember, John said they should believe on him which should come after him, Christ Jesus. Paul proclaimed to these men, as he did everywhere, that Jesus was the Christ on the cross. Now, it is important to believe the right message. These men were like some who today who say, "I will trust Christ as my Savior," but never do. Or, like many Jews who say that they are looking for the Messiah, but reject the fact that he was here over 1900 years ago. You see, believing the right message is the difference between eternal life and eternal hell. Now, these men believed Paul's message that Christ was the Savior that was crucified. This is evident from verse 5. Now, notice here, if you will, and read with us, which tells us that when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, not unto John's baptism, but unto Christ's ordinance of baptism in his name. These were not baptized to be saved, but because they were now saved by believing. Paul never baptized any unbeliever. Now, in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, he baptized Lydia and her household after they had believed. In verses 30 to 33, he baptized the Philippian jailer and his household after they had heard the word and believed. Now, these 12 had believed the gospel, that is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and were baptized as evidence of their faith in Christ, which now brings us to the messenger. Now, we're down here to verse 6 in Acts chapter 19. Now, we're told in verse 6, follow with us if you will. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues. Now, remember, the word tongues is better translated languages and prophesied, that is, gave forth the word of God. Remember, God does not do things without a purpose. So there must be a purpose why Paul laid his hands on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, as we have studied the scriptures and found, the purpose of tongues in Acts 2 was given to give evidence of the Messiah. That is, that the Messiah had come to the cross and returned to heaven, for the Holy Spirit would not come until he departed, John 16:7. Then in Acts 10, we found the purpose of tongues was to give evidence to the Jews that the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, or the like gift, the same as they. Now, in verse 6, we're going to see that God's purpose for tongues, that's languages, was evidence to the truth of Paul's message and his authority as an apostle. Get that down. That is the purpose. I'm going to repeat it again. You need to get it down in your notes, and as you study this, you'll see it. It was evidence to the truth of Paul's message and his authority as an apostle. Now, Christ performed works of miracles to prove his messiahship. In John 14:11, he said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sakes. He also gave the apostles the power and right to perform the works of miracles as proof that their message was of God. Then in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 8, they were given this power by the Lord, but commanded to go only to the nation of Israel, telling them that their Messiah was here, the kingdom was at hand, and verifying their message and making it authentic by the sign miracles that they performed. Now, when they rejected this message and crucified the Savior, he arose and returned to heaven. Now, this ushered in a new dispensation, the church age. Now, God has chosen Paul to reveal the mysteries, that which is kept secret before, to reveal them to now to the church age. God had chosen Paul to be the apostle to replace Judas. Therefore, being an apostle, he was given the power to perform signs and wonders as proof his message was authentic. Even the other 11 apostles did not accept God's choice of Paul to be the apostle to replace Judas. This is evident from Acts chapter 1, verses 23 to 26. You see, they chose two. Then they cast lots, which singled out Matthias as their choice. But God rejected their choice of Matthias, for he's not even mentioned in the rest of the Bible. God made it clear that his choice of Paul would stand and be final. Now, Paul had to continue to defend his right of apostleship, as seen in his writings. Now, follow along if you will here, and just follow with us here. It is imperative that you understand this in order to understand why tongues were given here in Acts chapter 19. Now, I believe the following will illustrate this. For example, now you do not have to turn to all of these here. You may jot them down if you'd like to and check them out later. In Romans 1:1, let me quote, if I may, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You see, called to be an apostle. Why did he always start out and say, I'm called to be apostle? He had to constantly defend that. In 1 Corinthians 1:1, as he began each of his letters, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle. Did you ever notice, as you study the epistles of Paul, why he began his epistles with Paul, an apostle? Why did he put an apostle there? He had to defend his apostleship and authority. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, if you'll notice, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. Now, remember, Peter's message in Acts 10 was authenticated by their speaking in tongues or languages. Paul's message was the same as Peter's. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, when these at Ephesus heard Paul's new message and believed, he laid his hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit and spake in tongues or languages. Now, this was God's proof that Paul's message was authentic. Thus, it was the right message for the right age. God, at his will, gave the tongues or languages as a sign that Paul's message was God's word. Now then, are tongues a sign today of God's message being true? To this we answer no, absolutely no. These signs were necessary only until God's word was put into writing. If Paul had been pulled or could have pulled out a New Testament, he would have shown them God's written word the same as he told them orally. They would have believed the written word, inspired of God, without any additional proof, just as we do today. You see, today we judge if a man is of God by comparing his teaching to the Bible. If his words agree with God's word, then we can conclude he's speaking by the Holy Spirit and not by a false spirit. These 12 men did not have the New Testament, as it was not yet completed, to use as a discernment of the vitality of Paul's message. Therefore, the sign of tongues and prophecy, that is, giving forth the word of God, served as proof that they had heard and believed the right message. The sign miracles given in Matthew 10 to the apostles passed off of the scene with the completion of God's word in about 96 A.D., the writing of the book of Revelation. Now, with God's written word completed, we need no signs and wonders to prove God's word authentic. For the Jews require a sign, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews it's a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks it's foolishness. I pray that God's word will be sufficient to you when he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then in John 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we're getting ready here. That'll conclude here. We find the purpose given here in Acts 19, to authenticate Paul's message and his authority as an apostle. Now, we're ready to move on here now, and we'll move on to 1 Corinthians now, and we're getting into some of the, what we call the juicy part here, where every Pentecostal in the country runs to when it comes to speaking in tongues. I don't know how many. I've talked to hundreds of Pentecostals, hundreds and hundreds of tongue-speaking people. They like to refer you to Mark chapter 16 until they find out you know Mark chapter 16. Then they'll run to Acts chapter 2. Then when you pin them down in Acts chapter 2, look, does everyone understand when you speak in tongues? Then they jump to Acts chapter 10. When you pin them down in Acts chapter 10, then they'll go to Acts chapter 19, and as you zap these things out with the Word of God, and if you know the Word of God, there is no problem whatsoever. The problem then becomes to getting the tongues people to go to the Bible. They'll go there as long as you don't know anything. But when you know the Bible and you've studied it and you're ready to give an answer to every man for the reason and the hope within you, and verification of the fact you have all you need in Christ, not tongues, then it's a whole different ball game. The fact is, and the sad part is, and I'm saying this for preachers as well as laymen in the church and members of that claim to be Christians, the saddest thing in the world is even preachers that take the kind of attitude, well, now, I'm not really going to say tongues are for today or tongues are not for today, and it reveals one of two things, ignorance of the Word of God or lack of backbone to stand on the clearness of God's Word, that they are done away with when the New Testament is completed. And had preachers done this, they would have never gotten the toehold in America as they have. And I might say this, and I'm saying it unreservedly because I've seen it in the past number of years as a pastor, I've never seen anything destroy so many people's lives, cause so many hard feelings, and destroy so many marriages as I have tongues, especially endorsed by the women. I have never seen it. Now, I know some of you ladies listening are probably going to jump up and be ready to do battle, but really, we're challenging you only to go to the Word of God, and I hope that you follow in these messages here, because in the years that I've seen it, and the hundreds of meetings that I've been to, and the thousands, I should say thousands, of tongues people I've talked to, I've never seen one yet. I've never seen one yet that wants to continue the conversation after you know the Bible. And will take, I've had them take the Bible and shove it right off, almost on the floor. I don't want it. I'm going to take an experience, and will not check their experience out with the authenticated Word of God, which would mean they would have to admit, I've been deceived, which involves pride on the part of the tongue speaker, and there are a lot of things involved. And therefore, after they have set forth this super spirituality and this closeness with God, to admit that God's Word says, hey, that wasn't done by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit would have to contradict himself. When the Holy Spirit, who inspired these men to write the Bible, said that when tongues have come, or tongues will cease with the completion of the New Testament, and that was clear back in 96 A.D., or approximately that time there, then to say that I've been deceived by some other spirit that has counterfeited what I'm doing involves an awful lot of pride on that part, especially after they projected how super spiritual they are and how much they know about the Bible, then to take God's Word and say, hey, I'm wrong, involves an awful lot of things, and I've not found too many of them to do that, although I have found some. Now, as we turn here, and we hope that you will with us here, to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to take now, right down here, and take it right head on, 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. Now, I might say this, as we study along, you know, it's an amazing thing. You know, when you're giving out messages like this, especially on some experience that a believer or so-called believer has had, you know, I cannot understand. I know when tongues people, and the ones I've talked to, we do not get mad at them when we talk to them, even though we disagree with them. But, you know, I have not really found that to be so on their part. I found them to talk about love, except when you disagree with them. And I'm going to say this, I know it's going to raise some eyebrows, but I've never had so many people try to get you, discredit you, as I have tongues people after you have rebuked them for the tongues that they have claimed to be of God, which are not. And I've had that experience time after time after time after time, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm just saying it truthfully. Now, it's not of all the tongue speakers now, but I'm going to say this, it's been of an awful lot of them that I have encountered, and so forth. I'm speaking that personally of the ones I've talked to, and I've spent a lot of time talking with them and going to the Scriptures. And another thing I found out, they always want to go to the Scriptures unless you know something about the Scriptures, and then they'll take and pull things out, twist them around, and not really much interested in the Scriptures after they found out you know them. And that's the reason that it is important for you and I as a Christian to study the Scriptures and be ready to have an answer. Now, we're over here to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 12, 13, and 14. Now, we'll give you briefly here how we've outlined this here, if you would like it, because we're going to take it verse by verse. First of all, we have in chapter 12, we've outlined it, the concentration of the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13, we have the consummation of the gifts of the Spirit. And then in chapter 14, we've outlined it as the control of the gifts of the Spirit. And under chapter 12, we have here two parts. First of all, we have in chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, God's gifts to the individual, and then in verses 12 to 31, God's gifts to the church. So we hope that you'll follow along with us here. Now, the concentration of the gifts of the Spirit will begin here in chapter 12. Now, our time is not going to allow us to get very far into this here, but we'll begin here and just keep progressing along as each Sunday the amount of time allows us. Now, as we give a little introduction here, we might say this. Among the many problems believers were having at Corinth, tongues were probably the worst. Now, it would be very, very instructive for you as the listener to read 1 Corinthians. In fact, I'll give you a good principle. We do this before we teach a book. We always try to read it through 10 times before we teach the book. Now, some of these books we read through many, many, many times. But you sit down, read the whole book completely through. Sit down again the next day, read it completely through. You would be surprised how fast you can do that if you will allot yourself just a half hour to sit down and read, or an hour a day. And this is one of the great lackings in the Christian life today, not redeeming the time, not disciplining ourselves in order to study God's Word. But if you will do that, you'll find out that of all the problems they were having in Corinth, tongues were probably the worst. Now remember this, Paul has spent more time in attempting to correct this problem than he does any other. Three chapters are used, going into great detail, covering most aspects concerning tongues. Now in chapter 12, the many gifts are enumerated, emphasizing what the believer's proper attitude toward the gifts should be. Then, as it is today, the gift of tongues was misused, counterfeited by a satanic spirit, and held in preeminence over all the other gifts. In chapter 13, it informs us exactly how long God will extend the gift of tongues and when they will cease. Then in chapter 14, it gives the instructions concerning the purpose and the regulation of tongues until they cease. And beginning here in chapter 12, we'll not just take every verse, only those that have a bearing upon tongues. As we move on to chapter 13 and 14, we will expound upon every single verse in those chapters. Now,
but I see our time's gone. We'll pick it up here next week and continue on here and so forth. So let me ask you, what are you trusting? Are you trusting your self-righteousness? Or are you trusting the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for your sins and promised that whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life? Well, thank you for joining with us, and I hope you'll continue next week and follow along in this series here. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.